To Matthew chapter 7, we're starting a new lesson today, and we want to look at Matthew chapter 7. There's just a few things we want to look at, and this one's dealing with wisdom in character, and one of the questions we want to ask. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity. This is your opportunity to say something. What is character? What is character? Don't say Larry.
Character is what you are when nobody is
watching. Very true. Very true. Any other character? And as I was looking at this and looking at the definition, is... character and integrity kind of go hand in hand. They really do. They're almost the same. And so this, just to give you an introduction here, it says in the 1400s, a man named Johann Gutenberg invented the movable type. Johann. Using a hammer and a chisel, he carved each letter of the alphabet out of wood. These letters arranged in the words, dipped in ink, and pressed into paper, transferred the image of the letters to the paper. Movable type paved the way for our modern printing presses. Both Latin and Greek had a word for the instrument that was used to engrave these letters. Do you know what that word was? Character, yep, that's what it was. And that's actually spelled C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R, character. Gradually, the letters of the alphabet came to be known as the same word. Today, we say that we have 26 characters or letters or in the alphabet. So they're characters. So the word character comes with several different meanings. Is there anything else that you guys come to mind when you think about character? And then I'll mention them. I just want to give you guys an opportunity. Mm-hmm. My wife mentioned something about our character, about doing things when nobody else is around. That's what true character is. And it also goes along with integrity. So the word character is any distinguishing mark, trait, or characteristic of a person. Does that make sense? The estimate, or should I say the reputation, of an individual by the community in which he lives. Because you people will say, well, she's a woman or he's a man of character. You know, you know those type of people. It also means self-control and integrity. The moral qualities that determine the way a person thinks or acts. It's attached to our morality. And Dr. Walter Fremont, in his book, Formula for Family Unity, defined character as living or acting by a predetermined set of life principles rather than living by feeling or impulse. So that's when we say we live by principle, the principles of God's Word. That's where we get, should I say, Christian character. In other words, character is knowing or doing what you should do, regardless of whether you feel like it or not. Going to work every day, we don't feel like it, but we do it anyway because we need to. We got responsibilities. So the blueprint for Christian character. So we answer the question, what character was, but what's Christian character? You guys are a lively bunch. Christ-likeness. That's a good answer.
Yeah. That's
what I was going to say. It's a good answer. So now that we get to Matthew chapter 7, we'll look at some of this, and we'll just go as far as we can with the time we have, and then we'll pick up next week on this. But so what is Christian character? Christian character is based on salvation in Christ, okay, or Christ-likeness. In relation to our salvation or our walk with Christ, who is Christ in our life? What part of our life is He?
Should be all.
Okay, that's a good answer. There's something else I'm looking for.
Like He's our foundation.
There you go. He's our foundation. And that's what this deals with in Matthew 7. 7 chapter 24, 7 and verse 24 of Matthew says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Basically, what Jesus was teaching here had substance. It had something to build upon. Anybody knows, or not anybody, but anybody that knows anything about construction or building a building, building a bridge, building anything that has any kind of building, it has to have what?
A good foundation.
What happens? What has happened? This is a good example. Out there in Ironwood, they were built upon what? A marsh. They filled all that. That whole valley right there was marsh. That's why they've had so many foundational issues. And in order to build a house in that area, it has to be peered at the key locations to keep that house from, you know, settling or doing something. I know of a house that I actually had the opportunity to do a lot of work at. Their house had settled, and it basically like split. So all the way through the house, everything you can imagine what was going on. And they had to come out and jack the house up and put piers in to support it properly. And then, of course, everything else inside had to be fixed. And that's because there was not a good foundation. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, but that'll be the next point we're going to come to is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So, Christian character is based upon, it has to have the right foundation, and that foundation is Christ. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to mention a verse here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So the foundation of Christian character is salvation in Christ, and there's saving grace, and then there's living grace. We have grace to live each day. So it's salvation in Christ and the continued working of the grace of God. So are we trusting in Him for the grace we need each day? Are we trusting Him for that? Are you sure you have the proper foundation upon which to build your character? That's something we gotta look at. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we want to hold your finger in 1 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I apologize, I skipped a couple verses here. What does it say there in verse 18? It says, "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So what is he talking about here? See, first and foremost, one of the things we need to do under, you know, salvation, first of all, with Christ, but we need to behold God in His Word and His works. That's why it's important for us to stay in Scripture and to learn of who God is. So, first and foremost, character is the result of focusing our attention on the glory and the grace of God as revealed in His Word and His works. That's what it is. So when we see 2 Corinthians 3:18, when we gaze upon His glory in the mirror of God's Word, the Holy Spirit will transform us in the likeness of the very God we study. Think about that. As we study, we become more, as Miss Debbie had mentioned, Christ-likeness. We become more like Him. That's part of the refining process. That's why God allows us to go through the hardships, the trials, the difficulties that we go through. Why? Because He's trying to make us to look more like His Son. That's what it's all about. Then we see what in Psalm 19, and you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it real quick. Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." What was the video you watched, Valerie? God of Wonders. And I don't know if you guys have seen that. I think it's put out by ICR. I believe that's who put it out. You guys should watch it because it's very intriguing of what they look at, the very intricacy things of nature, anywhere from animals and some of that. It's just very intriguing. But it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." We can see in creation, yes, this is a under the curse, this our creation. I mean, it's still beautiful. There's still beauty here. But just think about it, if it wasn't sin cursed. Just think of how much more beautiful it would be. But the stars reveal God's glory. Some of that was in there. They were talking about the sun. They were talking about some of the closest stars. Believe it or not, our sun is one of the smaller stars in the universe. And it's, I can't remember how many size. It's been so long ago since I've been in that class. But it's so much bigger than the earth. I mean, we're just a minute spot compared to the sun. And there's stars out there further out that dwarf our sun, so to speak, to show you the magnitude. And it talked about, I remember hearing parts of it before I fell out to sleep, but it was talking about how it burns. And how do you think the stars are maintained of the amount that's continually burning day after day, year after year, for the time that they burn? I mean, think about that. He sustains the earth. He sustains, you know, as we rotate around the sun 365 days, and as the earth rotates on its axis 24 hours a day, and it's at the right degree of angle, it's at the right speed. We would never know it. We don't feel it. But think about that. See, His knowledge of God, when we have a knowledge of God, it develops faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. It develops courage, stability, wisdom, and many other qualities that will give us a sustaining character. A good example in the Bible was David. He was a prime example of character developed by beholding God in the Scriptures. David was a man after God's own heart. That's who he was talking about. And why was that? Yes, he failed. He made some very wicked decisions, so to speak. But he repented of it. See, without the focus, our focus being on God and who He is, our foundation will be shaky. It won't be firm. It won't be solid. And that's why it's important for us to look. And we look at this, as we look at 2 Corinthians, and I stick there for a second, 3 and verse 18. We look at that verse. It says, "But we all with an open face beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. That word change there is the same word as transfigure. It's the same word when as Jesus on the mount transfigured himself, showing the disciples, the three disciples that was with him. They seen him. And when he transfigured, that's what happens with us as we focus in the, as it says there, we with an open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God transforms us. He changes us to be in the likeness of Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the one I got ahead of myself at, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a very good chapter because it deals with a lot of things. We start in verse 10. So the question we leave with our first point is where is our focus at? What do we focus on day in and day out? Where is our focus? Is it on Christ? Is it on God? Do we see him in the scriptures when we read it? Where is our focus at? So we see the foundation, but then the next word we have here is the superstructure, or what's built upon the foundation. So we look at verse 10 in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And then what does he tell us here? This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. In verse 11 it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. Good example, when we looked at the Matthew 7, there's one that built upon the foundation, which is Christ, and one who is the rock. We can see the man that didn't build on a foundation, and his when the wind and storm come, and it blew it down. It kind of reminds me of that little story about the three little pigs and their houses. One built, you know, one this, and then I don't even remember the whole story. But as kids, we grew up learning that. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And I've been over this passage multiple times. The gold, silver, precious stones are those works that we do as Christians that are pleasing to Christ, that are for him. But wood, hay, and stubble is those things we've done for ourselves. That's when we decided we were going to be selfish, and we decided not to do what we should have done, but we decided to do something for ourselves. That's what's going to be burned up. And he says there in verse 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, if it won't last through the fire, then it's worthless. Think about it. If any man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And that's what, when we live for Christ and we're doing what he wants, there's five crowns in the Bible that it talks about. There's difference of opinions on those crowns. They say there's five, and then some people say they all refer to the same crown. I've heard both sides. But regardless of the fact is for our works for Christ, there's going to be reward. He's going to give us reward. Because when we stand before him, do you want to stand before him empty-handed and not being able to offer him nothing for what he's done for us? Or do we want to try to live for him through his strength, through his enablement, and earn these rewards so we can give something back to him in heaven? Because that's where it's at. Everything, it's interesting how the Bible says that we came into this world naked. We're going to leave naked. We're not taking nothing with us. So everything we have is just really merely entrusted to us. But he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. Because the foundation was the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't shake that foundation. He is the... we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Give us a little more understanding about Jesus being the rock or the foundation. Starting in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And we've looked at this in the past, it's been a long time ago, but the word Peter, or the name Peter, means little rock, if we were to look up the definition. There's Petra and Petros in the Greek. But Peter means little rock. And when Christ says upon this rock, he was speaking of himself, it refers to a boulder, a foundation. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he is the foundation. So what we do... When we talk about or think about Christian character, what we do, what we say, how we live our lives affects what we're building upon that foundation. And that's what Paul's telling us here in Corinthians. And determining whether our works be compared to gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble will determine whether we have anything to offer back to Christ. But it determines based on what we've done. So there's a difference when we start looking. So the definition of character is living by a predetermined set of life principles. Living by a predetermined set of life principles. And usually, for most children, if they're in a good family situation and have a father and a mother there, and it's better if they're a Christian family, but I never grew up in a Christian family. But the point being is the child is supposed to learn at those early ages the principles of life. That's what the parents, that's their responsibility to teach the kids. But there's a difference. See, Paul warns believers to be careful how they build upon the foundation which is laid in Christ. And we read that in 1 Corinthians. There's a difference. There's two different superstructures that we can build on. There's two different things that we can do based off feelings or based off faithfulness. We ought not to build upon the foundation based on our feelings. Because if we based our life off our feelings all the time, we would never feel like doing nothing. But we base it off principle. We base it off being faithful. See, when somebody makes... when they don't feel like doing something, what happens? If somebody comes to work and they don't want to be there, what happens the whole time they're there? Nothing gets accomplished. And what else goes along with it?
Well, it affects other people.
It affects others. There's griping and complaining, discontentment. It's all based off of feelings because they don't feel like being there. See, the world system in which we live continually brainwashes men and women to live by their feelings rather than by their principles. See, that's why does it kind of remind you of back when we first started this lessons? When we compared man's wisdom versus God's wisdom? Christianity versus humanism? As Brother Woodcock preached Sunday night, talking about philosophy. What is our philosophy? What's going on up here? The greatest medium of communicating this type of philosophy is through worldly forms of entertainment. It affects us. Do you know one place that the world gets into a person's lives more than any other place? Can you guys name it? It's always been television, and it still is television. Or that type of entertainment. A television is a tool in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with a television. But what we watch on it is what the problem is. What we allow. Christians allow things in their homes that they never would allow if somebody come in and talk like that in person. But they'll allow it on their television. They'll allow things to come across that television that doesn't honor Christ. In my opinion, a television is nothing but a waste of time. That's why I don't have one. That's why I don't waste my time doing it, because there's other things to be doing. But to each person, to their own, depending on what they do. See, people, even well-meaning Christians, sometimes make entertainment choices simply by the amount of objectionable elements they contain. There's a lot of things going on. I mean, there used to be a standard, PG-13, rated R, all these you don't watch because of what? There's always nudity. There's always sexual content. You can't even go on the internet and watch a Hallmark movie anymore. The newer ones, I'm not talking about the old ones. The newer ones, and they promote what? Homosexuality. They're promoting today's things. What we allow before our eyes affects our lives. What we allow to influence us affects us. We got to remember the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And they go on to mention more here, and it talks about we should sometime take the time, and you don't have to do it here, make a detailed list of entertainment that we watch on a regular basis, if we do. TV programs, websites, music groups, books, etc. We can evaluate ourselves based on these influences I mentioned. We can evaluate ourselves whether it encourages us to live by God's standard, a godly thing, to be more like Christ, or to live based off our feelings. Think about it. And if it's building things based off of feelings, then we need to cast it away, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. There are many that say that what we watch or what we do or the people we hang around doesn't matter, but that's not true. It does matter, because the Bible tells us evil communications corrupt good manners. What's that mean? It means the company we keep, if we keep it long enough, we'll become like that company. Look at Lot when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. He got callous to the wickedness that was around him. He was living there. He was one of the main people in the city. He was in the gates when they came down. And look what happened when he went to leave and he tried to get his sons-in-law and his daughters to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, and they wouldn't. They laughed at him and mocked him, and as one that, it's like, who are you to tell us? You're living here with us. And then what happened to his wife? She looked back. That's why the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Physically, she got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but in her heart, she never left. That's why she turned back. And there was consequences. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Anything that comes into our mind, whether through the eye gate or through the ear gate, if it doesn't honor Christ, and if it doesn't lift Him up, then we ought to cast it down. We ought not to fill our minds with that kind of stuff. That's what he's saying here in 2 Corinthians. But so we talk about those who build their superstructure, so to speak, on feelings. Now let's look at those who build on faithfulness. Christian character, however, is built on the framework of faithfulness. Faithfulness results in acting not on feelings, but on the truth revealed by God in His Word. That's why we say we live by principle, not by based off. That's why when people are struggling with the security of their salvation, it's because they don't feel saved. Well, feelings never did save you. Christ did. We look in the Scriptures. That's why we take you back to the Bible to bring that assurance. Because the Bible tells, if you did this, what the Bible says, then of course, according to the Bible, you're saved. And God says in 1 John 5:13 that we can know that we're saved. That brings that assurance, that confidence in what Christ had done for us. It's nothing we've done ourselves. But we need to live based on the truth which is revealed in God, by God in His Word. If we are to build with faithfulness, we must be faithful in two ways. What's the first way, do you think? What's the first way we need to be faithful? First and foremost, who should we be faithful to? To God. We must be faithful to Him. We must be ever growing in our knowledge and fear of Him, that we might have the wisdom to build in our lives. Let's go to, I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. I'll give you a moment to get there. And we're gonna end with this here because we're running out of time. But next week we're gonna look at the carpenters that are involved in the building of the superstructure. Those people that are involved in our lives that help us build upon what Christ is the foundation. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever." But it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow. We must recognize our total dependence upon God and the grace to live the Christian life. To what? To develop Christian character. Second, we must be faithful to what? Not only to God, but what else? What goes along with it? God and His Word. We must be faithful to biblical principles. What is a principle? Another opportunity to say something. What's a principle?
Building block, kind of.
Well, it is. A standard, that could be a standard as a principle. What's that?
A biblical truth.
Yes, that's where we're headed. That's exactly right. A biblical truth. A principle is a rule or a law based on the character of God, which never changes, by which we govern our lives, which is a biblical truth or God's Word. This is our rule book, so to speak, for the Christian life. So we see that. So a Christian must search God's Word, finding the attributes of God upon which he must build his life. So that's why these principles are important, because they help us to show God's glory to the world around us. See, that's the purpose. We are saved. we receive Christ and he is the foundation. So now, when we get saved, that's not the end of it. Now God wants us to grow. And what we, how we build upon that foundation will be a result of our influences. So what kind of influences we allow in our life affects the way we live. It affects the way we talk. It affects our Christian character. There's going to be four areas that we're going to focus on next week that affect building our Christian character. And we're going to look at those next week. Is there any questions, comments, anything else that needs to be said that maybe I missed or didn't say? Does it make sense? I mean, it's a simple, I mean, it's just, it's great. The scripture is, it's just, we need to build upon. That's why it's so important for us to be faithful to God's word on a daily basis. That's why it's important to, for us to put him first. Because if we put him first, then when we, by putting him first, it affects all of our decision making, does it not? If we're putting him first, it affects our day, does it not? How many times have we not read our Bibles in the morning or spent time in prayer and we go out and have a horrible day? Why? Because we didn't put God first. It's happened to me. I say Monday, I say every day is a Monday sometimes. But the point being is we need to grow and build upon that foundation, which is Christ. And what we allow in our lives affects that growth. It's the same thing if you want to take a tree or a plant. It's the same thing depending on what type of fuel you put into your car will depend on the performance of that car. Some cars want high test fuel all the time. That's what they recommend for them. Some cars, mine uses so much gas, I don't even worry about it. I just put the cheap stuff in. It runs and it doesn't get no better gas mileage with the expensive stuff. But how we live our lives, what we allow to affect our lives, the influences we allow in our lives, in everything, there's a choice. Am I going to live for God or am I going to live for self? Am I going to live for God or am I going to live for self? Am I going to live based on principle or am I going to live based on feelings? There's so many decisions throughout the day. And we need to, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We need to continue to ask God for help. And I find I fall short and I'm guilty of doing things without consulting the Lord. And we see in the Old Testament scriptures, when Joshua was leading the children of Israel into battle, and what happened? They went upon their own strength and didn't consult the Lord. And they thought, well, we defeated them, we can defeat them. And what happened? There was a defeat of themselves. And then come to find out there was sin in the camp, which they had to deal with. Achan, taking of the... He desired, if he would have just waited a little longer, he could have had whatever, because God allowed him to take of the spoils later down the road. But then when they sought God, he gave them the victory. The same thing David did when he went to battle. And what happened? He didn't consult God. And then in the book of Numbers, he numbered the people. And what happened? There was consequences for that. He sinned. And that's what happens when we don't consult God and when we don't spend time with God. Then we allow stuff in our lives that we shouldn't. The sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. They don't cohabitate. They just don't. Let's pray.